You wanna taste it, you wanna be a king. You wanna make it, don't wanna fake it, you wanna levitate. You want love, want truth, wanna feel brand new. You wanna do it, do it, do it. You got dreams, you got dreams, you got dreams, you got dreams. But there's something in between, man, and you're stuck there underneath them. So get up.
Welcome to the Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. If you got any questions, comments, concerns, whatever you got, 204-269.
Hate mail, love letters, whatever.
tweet us, 204-269-8636. That's 204-269-UMFM. I'm expecting hate mail.
Book reviews, yeah. Report cards, whatever you can find. We'll take it all tonight.
Pigeon carrier pigeons.
Yeah, if you got a little carrier pigeon out there, you do what you have to. How's the week going there, Beans? It's been a while since we've seen you. Yeah, it's almost like you haven't been here in November. Wait.
I haven't. This is my first show of November, 2018. That's right. Yeah, no, it's good. Just a little time to take care of the family.
Yeah. Doing a little family thing. Family doing a little work thing, too, you were saying. You were working late one night there.
Not by choice, but by need.
We'll fade out mother here.
Sometimes people need power. And
Seems to be a necessary evil nowadays.
Yeah, people like it, and it
somehow we need power every once in a while to get this thing up and running here.
Warm.
So
people like to stay warm.
Do they?
Yeah, I guess. So.
I guess in this environment, I can understand.
Yeah,
that. Yeah. No, I was busy too in terms of stuff that was going on. Met a whole bunch of people, a whole bunch of celebrities, and
you're just
Curtis Joseph. Met him on Monday. Fantastic man in terms of him coming by and signing a book, and then Jay Baruchel. You may recognize that name. Not a hockey player, but certainly a celebrity hockey fan.
He plays hockey.
Well, I'm sure, but not professionally.
Not professionally, no.
More of the comedian and
actor,
director.
Yeah.
He put together the Goon series and certainly has been doing a whole bunch of other stuff in terms of getting stuff going. So good for Jay Baruchel coming in. He had a great crowd at his setup. And then, lineup was ridiculous for Curtis Joseph as well to get his book signed.
Yeah, one of my favorite Jay Baruchel movies is This Is the End.
This is the end. Look at that.
It's a great
ensemble cast right there.
It was a great movie he was in. So,
A couple of busy days, busy weeks for both of us in terms of the way it sounds. But there was a lot of busy stuff going on in hockey.
It's a busy day for GM Jared.
Well, GM Jared's always busy, though. He's making things happen, turning the wheels.
Yeah.
Keeping this place going as the gears shift every now and then. There you go. You got a haircut. Look at him.
Just one of them.
He's looking very, very aerodynamic tonight.
He does. Shiny as...
I'm built for comfort.
There you go. I like that. Let's start off we got some big topics we're going to go into. Let's start off with little things, though, in terms of some cool announcements, some good stuff. I guess one of them's not so good if you're a Jets fan, but... I'll start with that one, though, because we'll go from the bad news to the good news. Reportedly, out of Finland today, there was a trade made in that Jokerit acquired the rights to Christian Vesalainen, star rookie for the, Manitoba Moose right now, from SKA St. Petersburg. And reportedly, Christian Vesalainen will be leaving the Manitoba Moose next week to join Jokerit in the KHL.
I hear that, yes.
It's not been confirmed by the team. No. It's not been confirmed by the player. It's not been confirmed by the agent. But reportedly, and we heard Christian Vesalainen say this earlier this year, that if he was playing in the AHL, he'd go back to the KHL and play there. This might be the first step in having that happen, as Jokerit now has his rights, and he can go home and play with the Finnish-based team.
Yeah, and apparently I think there's a... November 17th deadline for that move.
Correct. He's got to make a decision in the next couple of days.
So, I mean, I think if he was still if he had to go to Russia instead of going back to Finland, he might not have made that move. But I'm sure we'll see that move now. I mean, I don't think he's going to come back to the big club this year. He's doing well in the A.
See, the thing that bothers me the most is I get have some time in the AHL. You put your time and do your thing. But when a player of Vesalainen's ability is, I'm not going to say tearing up the AHL, but certainly doing well down in the AHL, why do we have players like Brendan Lemieux sitting in the press box? Like, what? The mismanagement of the assets that this team has. And again, I get it. I understand the fact that Paul Maurice seems to have this ridiculous idea that grit and toughness in terms of the way you play the game nowadays matters, when in fact, if you have four lines that can score at will, you'd probably be the best team in the NHL, hands down.
Yeah, I think the problem right now is that fourth line for the Jets is playing, what, 4 minutes a game?
Not very much. Okay, but that's fine. But again, if you want Veselainen to get better, why is he playing? Why are you not putting him in that spot that Lemieux is in right now? Yeah. Send Lemieux back down to the AHL. Yeah. Let him figure out how he wants to play this game, because
I don't think he knows yet.
That two-game suspension didn't help his cause. And then have Veselainen at least practice with the team, maybe rotate him in for a few games, maybe move him around.
Yeah.
Nick Batan's looked good, don't get me wrong. Yeah. Roslovic's playing well. But again, rotate in another 6'2", 6'3" guy on the wing who can definitely light the lamp.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I think one thing that the Jets do that I'm not a fan of is that they almost overplay their top guys. I think with the skill that they have that potential lineup, they could, you know, slowly, you know, play more minutes for your bottom six lines and get those top six guys a little bit more of a rest so that they're better for their third periods.
Well, at least coming down the stretch as well. Yeah, I mean, we're talking about wearing these guys out. I mean, sure. Don't get me wrong, they're athletes, or they're in great physical shape. But I mean, you don't want to see them dead in the playoffs like they were against Vegas last year.
Yeah, you don't. And I mean, injuries creep up, right?
Exactly.
I mean, the more the guys that are on the ice, the more chances injuries are coming. So I think just playing guys like Veselainen, you know, Roslovic, Batan, guys like that, playing them a little longer will help the front six guys in the long run too.
So if Veselainen leaves, he'll be ineligible to rejoin the team, either team, the Moose or the Jets, for the playoffs. So. Big decision coming up.
Yeah.
Big decision.
I mean, I just think that if he wants to be in the NHL, the AHL is the place for him to be.
I will say this. I think if he's going to go and play in the KHL for one more season, it won't hurt. Because if you're going to spend the entire season in the AHL, no big deal.
Yeah.
I'd rather see him playing against older players, stronger players, bigger players, in the KHL than maybe playing in the AHL against some of the teams that we run into in terms of having the Moose go up against, you know, some of the weaker teams in the AHL.
Yeah.
In saying that, though, you can't lose Christian Veselainen by telling him next year you got to come back and compete for a spot.
Yeah.
He has to have some place he can come into where he can get better at the NHL level next year.
Yeah, and that he knows that he has a good opportunity to
right.
be here. Yeah, I mean, I just think the game is different out there. I'm not going to say it's going to hurt him for a year, but just to play on the bigger ice and play in the different style of game.
The North American game is a lot different than the European game, as we've heard. So. But Veselainen seems to be doing okay in the North American game. It's not a problem for him.
Yeah,
it's just a matter of, I don't want to go down and earn $75,000 a year when I could be earning $1 million tax-free over in the K.
Yeah, for sure. If it's about money, then, well, whatever.
But that's the thing, though, is that if he goes back to the K, he's going to get paid.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of, what can we do to bring him back now?
Yeah, do you want to get paid or do you want to?
Well, we'll go to better news from Europe, because there was some big news that came out of one team from Europe.
Ooh, better news.
The Krefeld Penguin decided to, I'm going to say, go all in. They went out and they re-signed Brandon Reed and assistant coach Pierre Beaulieu in Krefeld for a second year. They'll be back for the 2019-2020 season. Krefeld currently in eighth place, tied with the Berlin Polar Bears at 27 points, 4 points back of fifth place with a game in hand still. Krefeld has decided to lock in their two bench bosses that they have no longer found themselves in the cellar. As it stands, Krefeld has 10 wins in 17 games. That includes overtime wins, shootout wins, all that stuff or whatever. In terms of those 10 wins in 17 games, far better than what they did last year. They're just 7 short of last season's overall total win total of 17 that happened in 52 contests. Their 27 points is already nearly half of the 55 total points they accumulated last season. So Krefeld said, you know what? These two guys seem to be doing the right thing here. Let's keep this Reed guy and this Beaulieu guy around a little bit longer.
Did we really have any doubt that Brad Reed could do that?
No, but I think that 1 year deal that he signed was kind of the let's see how you do sort of
trial
thing.
Period.
Yeah, we'll give you a shot.
But I mean, he's already proved that.
The fact they came back after 17 games and said, you know what, You're worth the money. Let's do this.
That's good for him. I mean,
good for him. Good for Jessica. Good for
him. Confidence going through, knowing where he's going to be at, and the team too, knowing that he's going to be their coach for a couple years.
So some good news there. So we go from maybe a bit of a bad news story with Veselainen to a good news story in that Brandon Reed, friend of the show, Brandon Reed, found a home in Germany in terms of keeping the Krefeld Penguin rolling there. So good for them.
Congrats.
Let's get into the bigger stories then, because there were some bigger stories that happened on this side of the border, this side of the ocean in terms of what happened. I want to talk, first of all, about the reduction in the suspension to Tom Wilson. I don't like it. I'm going to say that off the top. I think it's ridiculous that he had his suspension reduced. Arbitrator Shyam Das.
Was it the same one as, same arbitrator as the last?
Shyam Das is the same guy that reduced the Austin Watson suspension. And the same guy that completely erased the Ryan Braun Major League Baseball suspension for performance-enhancing drugs. Shyam Das, who's a lawyer by trade and went to Harvard, and I think he went to Yale and wherever else he went, and it doesn't really matter. Smart guy. Take nothing away from him. Smart guy. But it seems the decisions that he makes towards whatever league he's working for, Major League Baseball, NHL, go towards destroying the integrity of the game. And I say that without trying to make it sound awful or make it sound worse than what it is. But here's the thing. If you're going to reduce Tom Wilson's suspension, you better have some solid concrete evidence that says, you know what? 20 games is way too much, and here's why.
Yeah.
Instead, Das wrote in his final sort of assessment of the suspension, quote, "The length of the 20-game suspension imposed was not supported by substantial evidence," unquote. And he came to a 14-game suspension by treating the 3-game playoff suspension as a 6-game regular season suspension, doubling it, and then adding 2 more games for the Sundquist injury. So in other words, you didn't like the number that was handed out, so let's just make up some random math equation to justify it. Yet, here's where things fall apart, because Das said that the NHL had no basis for doing an 18-game suspension plus 2 more for Sundquist, when Peros' explanation was 6 games based upon the 3-game suspension, the 6-gamer, 6 games times 3 incidents. We're talking about the Zach Aston Reese hit, the Robert Thomas suspension in the preseason, and then the Sammy Blaze suspension, which carried into the regular season.
Yeah.
Plus 2 more for the Sundquist. If you add all those up, that's the 6 games in terms of what's going on there for times the 2 game times 2 or times 3 or whatever.
Yeah.
That's the 18 plus 2 for 20.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
There's logic there.
6 games, 3 incidents, 18 plus 2 more for Sundquist.
Yeah.
20 games. I don't have a problem with that math. Nope. It makes sense to me.
20 games. We all thought 20 games is enough.
6 gamer, we doubled it and add 2 more. So we just made up our own math to justify a 14-game suspension in which Wilson's now eligible to play. Yeah, he gets about $400,000 back. No big deal. Let me remind you that Pittsburgh's Zach Aston Reese didn't eat solid food all summer.
Yep.
Let me remind you.
Is he in the lineup yet?
He's back in the lineup for Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Let me remind you that Robert Thomas was gone for a few games after a late hit that he threw in the preseason, and that Sammy Blaze, who from St. Louis as well, was driven into the boards by Wilson in terms of a boarding penalty. In all 3 instances, he drew suspensions. So I don't know where the substantial evidence doesn't exist that Das doesn't seem to understand, but we got a phone call too.
It just says that what he's doing is okay.
But that's the thing, though. It justifies it.
And that's not justifiable.
Should we take the call?
Sure.
Okay, let me get the phone set up. Hold on. If you're calling in, hold on 2 seconds there. We're just going to make sure everything's set up and working right. Oh, okay. Beans is there. We go. Caller, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, gentlemen.
I was going to say that I recognize the voice now. How are you, sir? John, it is good to have you.
It is. I'm glad to be here. My ears started burning. I heard that 2 of the worst words in the English language, so I just wanted to join the conversation.
Tom Wilson? Is those the 2 words?
Yeah.
Are they in a dictionary anywhere?
I think they're in Urban Dictionary, so I don't think you should tell your listeners to go over there if you want to keep this family friendly.
Wow, we never said it was family friendly.
So, Tom Wilson gets his time off reduced from 20 games to 14. I assume you have an opinion on that.
I do. Well, first off, my question is, yeah, you can get two more. Sorry. Someone else has chocolate.
You're doing double duty there.
I should have looked this up first. When Ryan Braun got busted,
yeah,
was Donald Fair still working for MLBPA?
He was in 2012. That was when the 50 game suspension came out for using the performance enhancing drugs. I have the actual argument the lawyers presented that enabled DAS to reduce it to a 0-game suspension. If you want to know that,
well, oh, that's disgusting. No, I did. I completely forgot that. No, this guy is now working on is now basically representing Donald Fair's players. Because isn't Donald Fair still
the NHLPA boss? Yeah,
involved at the NHLPA.
Yep.
Yeah. So Donald Fair basically found his hatchet man. To, as you said, you used the term, he's a smart guy because he went to Yale. I was born at Yale. That automatically negates every smart thing Yale's ever done. And then all of a sudden, he undermines everything about both sports that he's representing. If I were any other player, especially the last two, and Vladimir Vishnovsky, oh, sorry, that came out. I would be telling my agent that I'm going to the players union and I'm going to raise hell because this guy, Donald Fair, continues to bring in his, you know, his Whitey Bulger to basically clean the slate of a guy who's outright injuring fellow union.
And that's correct. So the NHL has the ability now to go ahead and fire DAS if they want to. There at any point in time, with written notification, they can terminate either the NHLPA or the NHL can terminate the independent arbitrator's status in terms of his job with the NHL. In saying that, I look at it and I go, I don't understand. Like you came out and basically said the NHL lied. The NHL made up this sort of false premise about how they got to this number, and then you went and did the exact same thing. Like whatever you just said, you did the exact thing you just criticized. So where in fact are you an arbitrator as opposed to just going, I'm judge, jury, and executioner?
Well, we have found the new Euclid because he has completely redone all elements of math. If he's going to say what you did is wrong, what I did is right, So this guy can take a walk.
Well, with the new math they're teaching kids nowadays, I think he might be on the right track somewhere.
I don't want to.
So John, I'll give you the outline in terms of how the Braun suspension got overturned. So DAS in February decided to overturn the 50-game suspension. February of 2013 decided to overturn the suspension for a positive drug test. Lawyers for the Milwaukee outfielder argued that the collection procedure specified in baseball's drug agreement for the urine sample were not followed with Braun's sample. And because of it, it was not immediately left at a Federal Express office because collection has to happen and they have to, and the whoever's collecting and whoever the collector is in terms of collecting the sample has to send it to a Federal Express office the same day so it can be sent to the laboratory. The collector testified that the sample was taken on a Saturday in Montreal and could not have been shipped that day due to the fact that there was no FedEx offices open on a Saturday. So he held on to it at his home until Monday and then sent it in. And that was the reasoning for them to overturn the Ryan Braun suspension.
KMA. Seriously.
This is what I mean. This is where you look at it and you go, the integrity of the game should matter more to you than what the actual, again, if you want to argue it in civil court in terms of it not being followed, the rules not being followed, by all means go ahead. But in terms of the arbitrator,
that in family court are the only. Hold on. Hey, Beans.
Yeah.
Welcome to this when they turn four.
I only got about 6 months left, and then I got a 4-year-old, so.
Yeah. Hey, buddy, go sit with your brother, please. All right. I tell my wife this all the time. I break out the Shakespeare, let's kill all the lawyers. I mean, that's the worst thing I've ever... Tom Wilson should be playing for the Cincinnati Bengals. He is the NHL's Vontaze.
Yeah, Vontaze Perfect. Yes. Yeah. And the thing is, evidence doesn't even matter anymore, and the truth doesn't matter anymore because you just lawyer the crap out of it. And,
well, it's all technicality.
Yeah, it's technicality. So you can do whatever you want as long as you got a good lawyer to find technicalities.
Tom Wilson plays in D.C. Put that together with what you just said. Rules and truth don't matter.
This is not a political show, but I know you're going with that.
Welcome to the world.
And it becomes one of those things where I just go, man, this is ridiculous. So.
Yeah, it is ridiculous.
Yes, I'm going to bring up Lubomir Vyshnovsky every single time.
The other thing that shocks me is that he's
a serial killer.
But the other thing that should make everybody cringe is that Shyam Das is the same guy who reduced Austin Watson's domestic violence suspension from 27 to 18 games, based on the fact that the NHL doesn't have a rule against it. That was his ruling to reduce the suspension. You don't have a rule, therefore you can't
proves my last point. It doesn't matter what the truth shows,
exactly,
and the evidence shows, as long as you got a good lawyer.
I don't know.
This is crawling.
I
completely forgot that this guy was the one who got Austin Watson, who there are marks on your girlfriend who's the mother of your child. Yes, so?
I'm almost convinced right now this is the guy that's going to be representing Slava Voynov when he goes in front of the NHL offices for reinstatement.
Yeah.
The way he's getting guys off... It doesn't really matter. He's getting guys off all sorts of punishments here. So
it's like having the enforcer again in the NHL. You can do whatever you want. Someone's going to protect you.
But again, I think this is ridiculous.
Isn't the moral just fire Donald Fair? No, actually, no. If I were a player, I'd be torn because I know that I can do whatever I want. Let's say now I'm going to bring. I think most of us were, four when this happened? Remember when Vince Neil killed a guy?
That's way back when.
His lawyer got him. He was driving under the influence. He was doing like $110 on around the corner to go to the liquor store. He served 30 days in jail.
Right.
Yeah.
One, he killed a guy in a band. Or he paralyzed the guy. He killed one, paralyzed the other from a friend's band. Yet Vince Neil is still Vince Neil.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Whether or not you like Motley Crue, whatever. He's still went on. Motley Crue is going to do they're recording new material after they just had a retirement tour. So Vince Neil got away with it. But how do you, with a clear conscience, as a member of this players' union, go, I know that my health and livelihood is in jeopardy every time that Tom Wilson takes the ice. Now, the Brad Marchand, the yeah, but equivalent is false. Brad Marchand is the new Sean Avery. He's not going to hurt anyone. He's going to annoy the ever-loving crap out of everyone, and he's going to create new rules.
Yep.
That's why everyone points to Brad Marchand. But Brad Marchand hasn't landed anyone on the IR. Brad Marchand hasn't landed anyone in the KHL because that's the only place they can play after their injury. Brad Marchand licks people. He gives people herpes. I mean, that's unsubstantiated, but you know where I'm going.
He sends them to, here at Shoppers Drug Mart to get hand sanitizer.
Yeah, send them to whatever pharmacy just to get the, some baby wipes and
some hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
Exactly. Tom Wilson has, and Tom Wilson only hits neck up. I'm 6'5". I get what he's saying. No, you're wrong.
I get that Tom Wilson.
I've been head shoulders bigger than most people my entire life, but there's no trail of death behind me.
See, and I get that Tom Wilson wants to have the number reduced. I get that. Like, it makes total sense. He's losing money, or he's not making money, I guess, in terms of being paid. He's sitting at home. He can't practice with the team, all that stuff. The thing that kills me, though, is that instead of having this as a 20-game mark on his record now, it goes in as a 14-game mark, and you cannot even reference the 20-game suspension if he's suspended again in the next 18 months. It's a 14-game suspension now.
This is the equivalent of having a record wipe when you're 18.
Correct.
Right?
Essentially, what you're doing is you're erasing punishments, yes.
Yeah. Next offense. Because there will probably be next offense.
If Leopard doesn't change his spots.
But there's so many big guys in the game that don't hit like he does. They don't play like he does. And they're still effective in their game. Well, here, Dustin Byfuglien. I mean, the guy still hits, and I don't think he's ever got suspended for an actual hit.
No. Brian Boyle in terms of a hit, was a shoulder on shoulder, and he could have easily lined up the head if he wanted to.
Exactly.
And he went in shoulder on shoulder. So
it's the way Tom Wilson plays the game is the problem.
Yeah. Jeff Merrick says it all the time. Every year, the Lady Bing should either be given to Chara or renamed for Chara, because he is Godzilla.
Yes.
He can lay waste to humanity, and where does he fall in pins every year?
I was going to say, although he wasted his own knee last night in the game against Colorado, so I'm not certain if that's entirely accurate anymore.
That looked...
Yeah, but that's self-inflicted. That doesn't count. But still, Chara, Byfuglien, I was about to say Chris Simon, but Tom Wilson is a new Chris Simon.
Yes, yeah.
Brian Boyle. Brian Boyle, 6'7". When's the last time he killed somebody? Never.
Yep. Tyler Myers here, 6'8". Like, there's guys that are big, and they don't... The game isn't played now where you need the big hit. And we've talked about this before, that the big hit is more for the reaction of the crowd than
Absolutely.
It is for anything else.
And I appreciate the fact that there are still some big hits out there that you can throw a big hit. But as long as that hit's clean, I don't have a problem with it. If you're going to target the head, if you're going to pull a Brendan Lemieux, or you're going to pull a Tom Wilson, and you're going to hit to hurt, totally different story now.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
There's no hope for this league anymore.
Well,
if someone signs, honestly, after this, if someone signs Voinov, and I know that's kind of going off, but it's the, you know, protect the perpetrator because he's part of the union, then take back Bettman's Hall of Fame, which that's a whole hour.
Daddy, why are you talking to someone?
Really? Really?
Yeah.
Those are the questions we get.
Those are the tough questions right there. The tough questions. Well, I mean, I got
two covered in chocolate. Two covered in chocolate, and I haven't eaten the chili I just made.
Okay, yeah. Well, you get going. We'll continue on with the comment. But I agree with you, though, John. I mean, it's ridiculous that this happened, and I think that they need to really, in the next CBA, they really need to sit down and say tough penalties for repeat offenders.
I agree with you, and yes, that is a hot dog. Okay, I got to go deal with it.
Okay, you go take care of that.
And congrats to the Capitals backup goalie, by the way.
Yes, we'll talk about Gavin in a few seconds. That's going to be awesome. So,
all right, later, guys.
Thanks for calling, John.
Bye.
We'll get a good call there from John from D.C.
The life of a dad.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know how many phone calls I get, and I have my 3-year-old in my ear.
Yeah, the whole time.
Daddy, who are you talking to?
So if we look at Tom Wilson and laugh at that, I guess the next question becomes, how did Josh Morrissey avoid suspension as we go into the second half here? We'll get the second half set up here in a second here in terms of what's going on. But I got to ask that question because he did the exact same thing that Mike Matheson did to Elias Pettersson. He absolutely scooped up and dropped a player on his head, and he got the maximum fine today. Just below $10,000 maximum fine, whereas Matheson, a non-repeat offender, got 2 games for doing that. Although Matheson, again, the retaletory part of
they looked at it
and they referenced it. Yeah. But at the same time, though, Morrissey was suspended last year in the playoffs. He's a repeat offender. He should have got something. I think he should have got something for this.
Yeah, I think at least a game. I mean, because he's a repeat offender, I would have said 2 games should have been what he got. But at least a game, I would have thought. I mean,
Exactly. I have no complaints if that was the case.
The only thing I can think of is that it was like a fluid motion from hit to going to the ground, but he still put the effort to throw Oshie to the ground. And, you know, and it was just, it wasn't, it was way too similar to Matheson, other than the fact that Matheson's was out of anger and out of revenge than it was for anything else. So
I still think he should have got at least a game for it as well.
At
so
least a game.
I'm going to take a quick break here. 30 seconds, folks. We'll be back after the legal ID. Come on back. We got lots more to talk about, including a new household name for you as Gavin McHale becomes the star of the night last night. We'll talk about him in a few seconds here on the Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM. Cut off those guys. Hop back in here as the legal ID ends there for you. CJUMFM 101.5 UMFM. You're listening to us here on the Hockey Show. Beans and I going over all the stories. Let's get into the big story. Gavin McHale. Now, you may not recognize that name right off the top, but Gavin McHale was a story last night on social media because Gavin McHale is the emergency goaltender for the Winnipeg Jets. And
for the MTS Bell.
Well,
MTS
for
Center.
anybody who wanders into MTS Center.
Yeah.
Now, Gavin's a great guy. Know Gavin really well. He's the goaltending coach here at the University of Manitoba with the women's team. I know Lauren swears by his methods. I know other players on the team swear by his fitness methods. He's a fitness coach when he's not doing that kind of stuff. Fitness sort of guru.
Yeah.
Trying to get all that stuff going. The 31-year-old played for the Portage Terriers for a short time. Played in the WHL with the Seattle Thunderbirds. So he's got a little bit of goaltending, you know, got his chops down a little bit.
He's got experience.
Gavin McHale got the tap last night. Got the phone call, actually. He was here at the university. Got the phone call.
Yeah.
Missed a whole bunch of stuff. He was playing in net. He was doing stuff. He was coaching stuff yesterday. Missed a bunch of calls. Got the phone call. Finally phoned about, we need you down here. We need you down here. We need you down here. Gets in the car. Rips down to MTS Center. Now, I don't know what happened. Brayden Holtby apparently got injured somewhere on the airplane.
Upper body injury.
Yeah, because he didn't play in Minnesota the night before, and then he had an upper body injury the next day. So I don't know how he got hurt in terms of, I mean, were they wrestling on the plane?
Like, taking his luggage out of the top shelf.
Something.
There
anyway, so with no Brayden Holtby, it was Phoenix Copley and no one. So
who are you going to call?
Gavin McHale gets the phone call. He heads down to the rink. He gets the number 41 jersey on. And Gavin McHale gets put into the net as the emergency goaltender. Congratulations, Gavin McHale.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic setup. Here's the fun part. For those who didn't catch the warm-up, and I'm going to assume there's probably a few people that didn't because NBC and Sportsnet don't show that. In saying that, Gavin McHale goes out on the ice, gets into the net, starts getting himself ready to go. First shooter coming down on him?
Alex Ovechkin.
What does Alex Ovechkin do? Rips it past him. Welcome to the NHL, kid.
Yeah. He was one person that wasn't a fan of him. I was watching a little bit of the warm-up, too, and they were talking about it. But Brian Burke, they were talking about Gavin McHale in net, and then he's like, I don't know about his style. Settle down,
yeah,
Brian
like,
Burke.
See, here's the thing, Brian Burke. He's 6'7". Like, the dude's monstrous.
Yeah.
And he's not playing professionally. No. Just let it go.
No, he wasn't a fan of his style. I'm like, Brian Burke.
So Gavin McHale sat across the rink, doesn't get to sit on the bench with the team because that's not how MTS Center works in terms of Bell MTS Center.
Yeah,
works. He had to sit across the way, but a little bit better vantage point than his press box seat normally in terms of what's going on there. So Gavin McHale, if you're looking for that information, had himself an awesome night. He was interviewed by everybody after the game in the Washington dressing room. I think this is probably one of the best things going in the NHL right now. And I only say this because you get a Scott Foster who came out in Chicago and beat the Jets last year. Gets his own hockey card. Gavin McHale could be the next guy that gets his own card. Cause this was a big story on both networks.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, everybody, social media was just blowing up. Like you said,
crazy.
But I mean, the fact the guy gets to go in a dressing room with the Stanley Cup reigning Stanley
exactly.
Cup champions, Alex Ovechkin. I mean, it won't be Kuznetsov. It would have been Kuznetsov for the first period, and then he got hurt.
Backstrom, Oshie, those guys. Yeah,
guys.
Carlson.
Like, just a loaded lineup, and, like, that's just, like, That's like the dream job for a guy.
And they come in and they make him feel, like you said, like they felt like everybody said hi, everybody introduced themselves, they made me feel real welcome, like no big deal. And I'm going, yeah, no big deal. Like it's just only the Washington Capitals, the reigning Stanley Cup champions. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, so a huge story there.
They called you up, so you're kind of like Braden Holtby.
But I think that there needs to be, and again, I know that these guys aren't signed to a team. They don't even get a contract. They're just, yep, they get a free ticket to sit in the crowd, sit in the press box, probably get a free box of popcorn and, yeah, and some a soft drink and away you go sort of thing or whatever. But I think it's such a cool thing to be able to recognize, like have those guys maybe recognized, even if they don't play all season. Yeah. Every team has to have one. Maybe the last game of the season, you recognize who that emergency goalie was, even if he didn't suit up. Simply because I think this is one of the coolest. You don't get one of these guys in the NFL. You don't have one of these guys in Major League Baseball. You don't have one of these guys in the NBA.
No.
There's nobody coming out of the crowd to save, yeah, a guy, save a wide receiver who went, yeah, down, you know, in the middle of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
These dudes are required. And this is the second time McHale's been in action. He actually suited up for the third period in a game where the Colorado Avalanche needed him.
Yeah.
And the Avalanche didn't let him keep the jersey.
Oh, he didn't play long enough.
They had to make up the jersey for him. Just give him.
He didn't even leave the dressing room, I think, on that one.
No, he had to. He was in the dressing room. They were getting stuff ready for him, yeah, or whatever in the third period or whatever. Yeah. But like in this one, they had the jersey and everything made up for him. Like, yeah, good for him. But like these are the guys that make the game go on. Without the second goalie, you
unsung heroes.
Exactly,
unsung heroes.
So to the Scott Fosters and the Gavin McHales out there, yeah, you got my respect
because
that's
you,
a
sir.
Heck of a. Heck
what
of
happens
a story.
If your emergency goalie gets hurt though?
Who knows? I mean, Scott Foster came into the game last,
yeah,
year because they had two. The Chicago had two guys get hurt.
Then you're like, well, what do
so
I...
Scott Foster, who played the last 9 minutes, earned the win.
He had a shutout, didn't he? Didn't
he shut out the Jets? Exactly, yeah. He shut out the Jets, earned the win, yeah, and then gets his own hockey card out of it. So, yeah. I mean, Gavin McHale didn't play. Gavin McHale didn't play, and don't get me wrong, I don't know if he wanted to play. I'm sure
probably didn't.
I'm sure that's not really something you want to do if you're just being thrown in cold. But at the same time, though. Again, I think this is one of the coolest things in sports because no other sport has this.
Especially when some of the guys that are doing it are like in their 40s.
Yeah.
Like guys are older and
they, I mean, they got the guy from Carolina who suited up, he's their trainer.
Yeah.
So I mean, he went in the backup role and sort of just, okay, I'll do this, yeah, or whatever. The guy in Florida was the same way. He, yeah, I'll throw the pads on, whatever. Let's get this going.
What
so
we got?
I mean, it doesn't happen often, but when it does, it's like the coolest story ever. So
yeah.
So Gavin McHale, if you're looking for that information, great guy, likes to do the behind-the-scenes thing here at the University of Manitoba in terms of what's going on, but dude is vitally important to the Winnipeg Jets organization there, so good for him. I'm going to play this because I apologize up front. I don't know who this guy, who's calling this, but here is some history made yesterday. If we can get this going here.
Home, they want to survive the remaining 96 seconds of this game. Faceoff won by Springfield. Hopped on goal. Hutchinson out of that. Jory's going to shoot it again. It hops towards the cage. He scores!
Okay, take it easy there. Take it easy, announcer. You're not that. It's not that big of a deal. Tristan Jarry scored a goal yesterday in an early game. The AHL doing their whole week-long bring your kids to the game, bring your school kids to the game for schools and stuff or whatever. Tristan Jarry scores the fourth Wilkes-Barre-Scranton goal against Springfield late in the third period to become the 14th goaltender in the AHL's 83-year history to record a goal and only the ninth goaltender to actually shoot it into the net.
Yeah, it was a good shot, too.
Yeah, no complaints about that.
I don't know who the guy was that shot it right at him.
Oh, I have no idea either.
How do you dump it a puck?
Do you know who the goalie of record was for Springfield? Did you hear?
I hear Michael Hutchinson.
Michael Hutchinson, former Winnipeg Jet. Yeah. Michael Hutchinson, now playing for the Florida Panthers and their AHL squad in Springfield. Do you know that Manitoba's got a goal and why it's special?
Well, I think we've talked about this.
We have talked
shows.
About this. Happened in 2008, February 20th, 2008.
Yeah, I do know that Manitoba scored a goal, but I can't remember what we were talking about, the story.
So Drew McIntyre scored, although he didn't shoot the puck, but yep. Drew McIntyre scored, and it's only the second overtime goal by a goaltender.
That's right, because it was on a delayed penalty.
That's correct.
Yeah.
The first one that happened was Antero Ninimaki, if you remember that name. Antero Ninimaki. Yep. He did it April 11th, 2004, against the Hershey Bears. He scored the other overtime winner for his team. So, but a bunch of guys that have Winnipeg. Chris Mason former Winnipeg Jets goalie Chris Mason. He did it with Milwaukee October 15th, 2001 against Utah. Former U.S. national women's team coach Rob Stauber. He did it with Rochester in 1995 against Prince Edward Island. Darcy Wakaluk, former Dallas Stars goalie. He did it with Rochester as well. So you can look through some of the other names here in terms of what's Jonas Gustafsson, who was temporarily a Jet. He did it with Bakersfield against San Diego. Rito Berra, former Colorado Avalanche. And then Tristan Jarry and Alex Nedeljkovic with Charlotte did it last year, 2018, March 10th, 2018, against the Hartford Wolfpack. So
there you go.
So there you go. Yeah, we got a few of them.
The goalie minute. We talked about goalies for a while here.
So Tristan Jarry, 14th goalie in terms of what's going on there, folks, if you're keeping track at home. 14th goalie to do that. Let's get into a little bit of NHL stuff. Gary Bettman came out yesterday on the 31 Thoughts article that Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet writes.
Yep.
It was asked of Gary Bettman, would you like to see a larger number of teams make the playoffs? Gary Bettman's response was, absolutely not. Like, he denied all consideration for it. And what would happen is that the bottom four teams, so 7 through 10, would play sort of a mini three-game series to open it up, and those two teams would then claim the wild card spots at the bottom. So mm-hmm. 7 through 10, yeah. 7 would play 10, 8 would play 9, and then those teams, whoever had the higher seed, would go on to become the wild card teams. Gary Bettman has no interest in doing that whatsoever. Elliot Friedman looked at it, said it could be kind of interesting to see how this plays out. More teams in means better races, better playoff races, longer playoff races.
Well, one thing does, baseball does it, and I love baseball.
Okay, but here's the thing, though. Baseball has, what, 153 teams or something? They have 12, like 10 teams that make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So of the one-third of their league can potentially make the playoffs.
Yeah.
The NHL has 16 teams in the league. They will eventually introduce Seattle as the 32nd team.
Yep.
That would be half your league is already making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really need to add another four teams to the, or another six teams to the mix?
Like, I like the idea of the play down for that final playoff spot.
See, I don't, because you had 82 games to win that spot.
Yeah. No, but I like it. I like watching it. Being a player for it, maybe not so much, but watching it as a fan, it adds, you know, playoffs is always, every fan wants to watch playoff games. That's the most exciting part of the game.
And I don't disagree.
It's great.
But it's
for
not
a player.
Though. How is it great for the fan if you end up as the 10th team and you're eliminated in two games? Because you're not playing at home if you're the 10th team. You're going on the road to play that three-game series. That's the way that it was proposed.
Yeah, no, and I don't even think it should be a three-game series. I think it should be like baseball, a one and done.
That they will never, NHL will never go for that, because that's lost revenue at that point.
Yeah.
So they were proposing three games in 4 days. You'd play back-to-back, you'd have a day off, and then you'd play the third game if necessary.
Yeah.
What they were proposing, though, is that, again, if you were the lower-ranked team, the 9th or 10th team, you'd go on the road for all three games,
mm-hmm.
essentially giving that 7th or 8th place team the home field advantage or the home ice advantage at that point.
Yeah.
Again, you've already had 82 games to make it there. Why are you not? Why are you playing an extra two to three games to determine whether or not you should be there?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think the playoff format, the way
and how much and if you're 7 or 8 and you've made it to 7 or 8 and then you have to go in and you have a couple guys get injured in that series, in that three game series, that ruins your whole playoff right there.
Yeah.
No, I think I as much as I agree that it would be more exciting to have those longer playoff races and certainly battles for playoff spots, I think the way the NHL has got it set up right now is fine.
Yep.
What I would like to see, and this is where things. Everybody's going to, oh my God.
Oh my,
I would like to see the teams reseeded in the next round, in that a Washington-Pittsburgh, for example, doesn't happen in the second round every year, or a Nashville-Winnipeg doesn't happen every year. So if you are the number, so again, you play your first round matchup and you get your divisional matchup out of the way.
Yeah.
And then the next round, you go by points, overall point total, and you reseed that.
It's like a new playoffs.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would make sense. That way you are getting your best teams in the Stanley Cup final.
Or at least in the Eastern and Western Conference final to proceed, yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I would like to see that. I think that would be a better idea if you're going to make a, I don't want to say significant change, but at least a change to the way the NHL has their playoff set up, is that you can then have two of the better teams not face each other in that second round,
yeah.
especially in Nashville, Winnipeg, who were the top two teams in the league last year.
Yeah. And then the teams, those two teams who are the best in the league, don't kill themselves in that second round.
And that's exactly what happened.
Like,
yeah.
Vegas gets through.
Yes.
And
I agree. So, I mean, I think that there's ways to improve it, but Gary Bettman wants nothing to do with a 7-10 mini playoff.
So that's one thing you agree with Gary Bettman on.
I don't agree much, but I think he's got the right idea on this one.
No, I agree too. I think the way the playoffs are great, or the way they are. It's exciting. It's a long season, and
it'll mess up our Survivor playoff pool as well. So
you gotta wait an extra couple days.
Come on, NHL, figure it out.
We got work to do.
Tanner Pearson, Carl Hagelin decided the two teams decided they didn't want him anymore. Tanner Pearson going from the Kings, Carl Hagelin going from the Penguins to those respective teams. A lot of questions as to why LA would acquire Carl Hagelin, who doesn't score much and maybe has a little bit of speed under his skates, but doesn't score much and is much older than Tanner Pearson.
Well, they would thought you would try to go younger and...
For a team that was already, you know, on the verge of being the geriatrics of the league, why would you get another old player to come in?
Carl Hagelin.
Especially with an expiring contract. The expiring contract, I understand, though. Yeah. He's a piece that might be able to be moved at the deadline, if that's the case. I like Tanner Pearson, though. And I know he has only scored once in 17 games so far this year. But Tanner Pearson can score. And when he does score, he seems to score in bunches. Putting him alongside Kessel, Malkin, or Crosby, Gensel,
whoever.
Yeah. Holy smokes! Like, we could be talking about just a devastating Tanner Pearson now.
Scoring one goal for the LA Kings this year is pretty good.
You know what? I'll agree with that, because the Kings haven't scored very much at all this season.
Yeah, but I like, definitely Pittsburgh wins on this deal. I mean, I think both guys did need a fresh start.
Sure,
new teams.
Sure, I guess so.
But yeah, that's just. It's just interesting the direction LA is going.
I'll be honest. I was hoping that the Jets would go out and get Tanner Pearson at some point, because him and Shifley had an outstanding junior career together.
That's exactly what I was thinking of when I heard his name in the mix there. So, yeah, I mean, good for Pittsburgh. I mean, they needed a push somewhere. They've been struggling a little bit.
Hey, full credit to Pittsburgh for saying, you know what, again, Rutherford has already come out and said if things don't change, things are gonna move. And all of a sudden, he gets a new contract, and then everything starts moving again. So
trying to get to that cup again. So yeah, I mean, I think it's a good move for Pittsburgh. It's a I don't know what the heck they're doing kind of move for LA, but whatever.
Rob Blake's got some sort of weird sort of I'm gonna just bring in all my buddies and hopefully we'll win kind of idea.
They're gonna
be
in a permanent rebuild.
I want to ask you about a rare phenomenon that goes on, specifically with one player in Blake Wheeler.
Okay.
Blake Wheeler, October Blake Wheeler, I'll call it.
Mr. October?
October Blake Wheeler didn't seem to understand that he was playing hockey a lot. Yeah. There was a lot of questionable decisions with the puck, a lot of, is he hurt, is he not hurt, what's going on with him?
It looked like retirement was...
He goes to Finland, he comes back, grows a mustache, and all of a sudden becomes the NHL's second coming of Gretzky.
He's putting up the points like crazy.
Does Blake Wheeler with a mustache stick around now, or do we lose the mustache in December and hope that he keeps his incredible superpowers?
Just keep the stash. I wish he would tell Patrick Laine after they came back from Finland that it's okay to keep playing hockey still.
I'm going to say this, to be honest. I think if you're Patrick Laine, and this is, again, if this may be a Blake Wheeler conversation, but say this right now. I think that Laine should grow the mustache as well. Grow it out. Not the beard. Don't save the beard for the playoffs.
Yeah.
But just grow a bushy, disgusting mustache and go crazy.
Yeah, and then think of how many assists you would get.
I don't even care about the assists. Just any points would be good at this point.
From him, yeah.
Especially 5-on-5.
Yeah, just get one 5-on-5 goal. It would be nice.
But yeah, Blake Wheeler with the mustache is a entirely different player, it looks like.
He just looks like he's back to what he was last year.
Like he's amazing. It's like that mustache is his like superpower, his like cape for being a superhero.
Yeah, I mean, he's got like a 12-point streak.
Yeah, he's got like 134 points or something in the last 12 games or whatever. Like he's got more assists. He wasn't even in the top 10 for assists, and all of a sudden he showed up and he was second after like two games. So
yeah, and I think he's had
that 5-point game was ridiculous.
I think he's had I think they said he was drafted in 2005 with Ovechkin. No, what year was Ovechkin? 2005?
2004, the lockout year.
He's out of all the guys from that year that have been drafted, he is behind Ovechkin in points. He's the second guy. So, I mean, it's pretty amazing from a guy that
Arizona didn't want and Boston didn't want. Yeah, exactly.
We got rid of him and the points he's put up, so...
I just think it's fantastic that Blake Wheeler's found his game again, because he looks like a different player
because
now.
Because we were pretty hard there on was, Blake
yeah,
Wheeler
there was some,
a couple weeks ago.
That October Wheeler was not a good Wheeler, yeah. But November that, Wheeler has been a completely different guy.
That contract looked terrible to that contract looks a little bit better.
You know
now.
What? You can stomach it now, because yeah. if he's going to put up those kinds of points yeah. in the matter of 3 weeks, you
he
can just, go,
he deserves
all right,
that.
We can handle
we can
that.
Handle that yeah.
He's worth that amount of money yeah. now. Got a few minutes left before the show ends here. UBC in town this weekend to play the men. The Bison men are
not so.
They need a lot of help. I mean, they have some injuries, but they need some help. Like yeah. they're dead last in Canada West mm-hmm. Conference. They haven't been playing well. They've been beaten on the road, beaten up and down the countryside in terms of what's yeah. going on here. UBC's a decent team. It may be another weekend of heartbreak for Manitoba fans if that's the case, but UBC is here. You can see a few players. Sven Butenschon comes to town, though. He's coaching UBC, there go, so yeah. there you go. Sven Butenschon, if you want to come
that,
see
that
a former NHLer.
That hot start by the men didn't
No, it didn't,
pan out.
Didn't really continue on at all.
Shoot.
Women go to Doug Mitchell Thunderbird Center in BC. And
number one ranked again.
Number one ranked in the nation once more.
Yep.
Montreal looks really good, though. Montreal out east and Concordia looked really good. Alberta's looking just as good again. Yeah. It's going to be, and again, I hate to say this, it's going to be the same usual suspects at the end of the road when it comes to playoff time yeah. again. And that's not taking away anything from UBC or Saskatchewan. But Manitoba needs to go into UBC this weekend and absolutely just pummel them.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that to be facetious towards UBC. UBC's got a good team. But Manitoba, if they want to really put their sort of stamp on this first half of the season.
Yeah.
Go in there and
prove
just
beat the
snot out of UBC. They've played really well. They played really well against Lethbridge, scoring 12 goals in two games, 8-0 and 4-1.
Yeah.
They played really well against Mount Royal before that. Again, good weekend of hockey in terms of just the way they were playing. They need to continue playing that way, obviously, going forward. But number one team in the nation, if you can go in there and beat UBC and really sort of cap off. Not again, they got 2 weeks left after this, Saskatchewan and then Calgary. Saskatchewan here at home and then Calgary on the road.
Calgary, yeah.
You got a good chance of really making this hard for anybody else to catch you. And again, if it's you and Alberta, if it's Alberta coming up, Alberta will be the first game in January that we have here at Wayne Fleming Arena. So we could be talking about two superpowers going head-to-head at that point.
Yeah. Merry Christmas to us.
It's a little bit after Christmas. Happy New Year to us.
It's a late Christmas
present. Late Christmas present for fans.
Some people have, you know,
exactly.
the Christmas after Christmas. This
Ukrainian
is,
Christmas?
There you go. This is Chinese Christmas. That's all after, you know, after our Christmas.
Is it?
No, that's Chinese New Year.
That's New Year, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Chinese Christmas.
I'm like,
That's a legal pot that we can smoke now.
So, big games against UBC this weekend. Now, I want to bring up the Bisons because it's going to be important. Starting next week, and I believe the week after, even maybe this week, I'm not sure, I haven't seen any in the bins for it, non-perishable food items. Bisons are doing the hampers again for some deserving families here in Winnipeg. Bring down some non-perishable food items for them. Help them out. Get everything going for them. A couple cans of whatever, or a couple boxes of pasta, or whatever you want to do. Help us out. Help the Bisons out. Get these hampers sort of created and getting going so we can deliver them in December to a number of families that are looking for a little bit of help this holiday season. It's going to be big for that. So if you want, again, Saskatchewan next week for the women, if you want to come see the number one team in the Nate Wall. Hoping it'll be the number one team in the nation at that point, but the number one team in the nation right now anyway. Bison men at home for the next for two out of the 3 weeks. It'll be UBC this weekend, Calgary in the final weekend before the Christmas break. By all means, get down here with your non-perishable food items. Help them out for the hampers in terms of getting everything going for that. That'll be fantastic.
Sure.
I got about 4 minutes to go here, Beans.
4 minutes.
4 minutes to go. Anything you want to bring up? There's been a bunch of stuff that's happened. I want to say this. Just before I let you go crazy here, congratulations to Winnipegger Jennifer Botterill.
Hmm.
She was named to the MSG Network's Islanders coverage as one of the studio analysts
nice.
For the remainder of the season. So she'll be working on MSG Network's coverage of the New York Islanders for the rest of the season alongside former Harvard teammate AJ Mleshko. You may remember her from the Nashville broadcast last year. She was the first woman to be in the broadcast booth. She will work with Botterill as a studio analyst for MSG Network. So an all-female studio analyst for the Islanders, which I think is fantastic. Alongside them, she will also be working with Shannon Hogan on the MSG Plus stuff as well. So before and after the games, Jennifer Botterill will be all over your MSG Network coverage of the Islanders.
Yeah, every so often we get some MSG games
every once in a while.
Tube.
Yeah, every once in a while we get one or two. Yeah. But nice to see that they're working in the some very qualified women in terms of both Mleshko and
they know what they're talking
about. And Botterill, exactly. A 3-time Olympian. She's won a pile of world championships. 2-time Patty Kazmaier Award winner, the only one in history so far.
Yeah.
She knows what she's talking about. She's good.
I saw the Bisons signed a recruit.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, yeah. Big shout out to Sarah Dennehy from the St. Mary's Academy Flames. She has agreed to join the Bisons next year. It'll be the second St. Mary's Academy Flame to join on, as Kate Gregoire will also join the team next year from the same team. So good for the Bisons in terms of getting that set up going. Yeah. That's a fantastic sort of piece on that. Want to shout out to Jordy Zacharias of the women's team. Jordy set a record this weekend as she, in 6 minutes and 38 seconds, scored the fastest hat trick in Canada West Conference
play.
Was
it three in a row?
Three in a row in the third period. It was a shorty and then two even strength goals. But she was dynamite this weekend in terms of just, she had everything going for her.
Light in the lamp.
Everything going. The goal that she scored, the third goal in game two on Saturday, she made a move. I mean, she made a great move at center ice to win the puck battle against another Manitoban in Hirschfield. What's her name? Hodge Hirschfield from Lethbridge. Poked the puck ahead, but made an outstanding dangle at the hash marks, and then went top shelf like there was nobody's business on the back end, and just an outstanding effort from Jordy in terms of getting that going. So, Jordy, who we discussed last week when she was on the show, in the most dangerous Bison last year, or the last 2 years anyway, in terms of against Lethbridge, she now has 10 goals, including a shootout winner, and no 10 goals, 7 goals, sorry, and a shootout winner. And 3 assists in the last, 6 games against Lethbridge. So
she's a Lethbridge killer.
If you want somebody who's hunting pronghorns, talk to Jordy. She is definitely taking
them
down.
Not too many pronghorns around, but...
Not out here anyway, but certainly out in the West. But yeah, so she broke the record held by Saskatchewan Shelby Davey. Shelby set her mark against UBC back on February 11th, 2012 in a 9-2 rout. Jordy set it obviously this weekend against Lethbridge. So from 9:17 to 6:38. So your new goal, if you're out there listening from another Canada,
you're looking to break a record.
6:38 to break that record. Never to get it going. There you go. In terms of what's going on there. I think that's pretty much all we got here tonight. Anything else you want to bring up? Anything
someone else break? I think NHL team broke a record for the fastest 2 goals.
Oh, that was
Carolina.
No, that was Montreal.
Montreal is that empty net?
The empty netter. I don't even think that should count. But whatever.
Empty net goal shouldn't count on your statistics.
I don't mind if it counts. I just don't think you should call it a record, though. Like to that idea. So
yeah. I think it was 1 second.
well, yeah. I mean, what can you do? No, I think it was 2 seconds total 2 seconds is what they said, okay. To set the record or whatever. Yeah. So,
there you go.
Other than that, I think we're going to get out of here for the week. I got a couple of things coming up, though. 29th, we're going to be at Keith Bodley Arena. We're going to be doing a setup where the Sanford Sabres are going to be playing the Sturgeon Creek Huskies.
That would be them.
In terms of the game out there, we're going to go out there and talk to some of the Sanford people as one of the prizes that we gave away at the for Pledge Rama is going to Richard. Richard, who earned that. So
he donated?
His son. Yeah, he did donate, and his son plays for the Sanford Sabres. So we're going to go out there and talk to them and get all that stuff set up in terms of getting that all going. May have, if you're watching social media, we may have a special guest on December the 6th. Keep you posted. We'll see what's going on, but we're working hard to try and bring that special guest in.
So. I heard we were working on one hard for tonight, but I don't think that didn't pan out.
There's a couple that are still in, and I know one of them is due to legal complications, and I only say that because things came down in the NHL the other day, and it didn't go well for NHLers. Yeah. So that NHL player, Dan Carcillo, is still looking at doing stuff, but he's not sure how much. He has to go talk to his legal team and see how much he can talk about. So he sort of put everything on hold for now, and I totally get that. Yeah. Kelsey Newman, who's now finally got settled in terms of what she's doing, sounds like she's going to probably either be on the show next week in terms of what's going on, or we'll do a pre-record, get all that set up for her. But we'll figure that out in terms of getting that going as well. But we'll have her on before December as well, or at least try to get her on before December, if not certainly before the new year hits as well. But other than that, we're out of here for another week, everybody. It is way past our time as we get ready here as Dan and Skippy and everybody else is getting ready for the next show here. So we will get out of here. We will call this a night. Anything you want to say before we go?
Have a good night, everybody.
Have a good night, everybody. It is the Hockey Show. We'll see you here next week, everybody, on the Thursday night, 101.5 UMFM. Take it easy, everybody. You want love, want truth, want to feel brand new. You want to do, do, do. You got dreams, you got dreams, you got dreams, you got dreams. But there's something in between, man, and you're stuck there underneath them. So get up.